It's a conspiracy theory that I'm actually interested in.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa Iconic, and I'm your host of Iconic Conspiracies, a podcast about pop culture conspiracy theories. Today, I have a super special episode planned. It's special for a few reasons. One, this is my first episode, and number two, it's on something that I'm so intrigued by. It's also something I talk a lot about and I'm kind of obsessed with if you've seen me on my socials. And it was also mentioned briefly in my little teaser for this podcast. So without further ado, today's conspiracy is whether or not Paula Abdul was really in a plane crash like she claimed to be. So anyways, for those of you who aren't aware of the history regarding this conspiracy theory, it actually started back in 2016 after Paula Abdul gave an interview to KDWB, which was a local radio station, and I believe Dave Ryan, who conducted the interview, looked back on some of her interviews and noticed a few inconsistencies in the story she was telling regarding a plane crash that had allegedly put her out of the public eye for about 7 years. When he looked back on the account of the plane crash that Paula gave him on the interview versus some of the other accounts she's given in the past, he did notice a few inconsistencies. And now this conspiracy theory didn't really gain too much attention until 2019. Last year, when Paula Abdul went on to RuPaul, upon being asked by RuPaul what happened to her career, what's going on with my career? No, but she was asked what happened to her career after she took a bit of a hiatus from the music industry and then was, you know, reappeared as an idol judge. She also then told RuPaul the plane crash story, but this story was different from the one that she gave to the radio station. And so naturally, people were like, what's up with this woman? Is she okay? Was she really in a plane crash? And I am going to answer all of those questions and more for you. But before we go into this conspiracy, let me give you a little bit of background on Paula. So pretty much, Paula Abdul was really big in the late 80s and early 90s because she released two back-to-back albums with singles that both did relatively well, such as Opposites Attract, Straight Up, and I don't know if there's a lot that was... I didn't do enough research on her as a soloist. I just did a lot of research on her as a plane crash survivor. No, but her career is actually pretty expansive. Aside from being an alleged plane crash survivor, she also was a songwriter. She wrote a few songs for not only herself, but she wrote a few songs for other people. She was a dancer, choreographer, and that's how she started to make a name for herself in the entertainment industry. She later on became an American Idol judge and was a judge on The X Factor, So You Think You Can Dance, and a bunch of others. She was an actress. I think she was in a few movies. Yeah, she was in movies for sure. Probably mainly as herself because I feel like she would be one of those actresses. She had her own reality show called Hey Paula that happened for like a season. It was – I literally one night I just stayed up and watched it all. It's insane. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit later on into the episode, but I feel like there's definitely some relevance to the whole plane crash conspiracy, and that's all in addition to all the Paula Abdul shady / diva moments that you find in Hey Paula. No, watch the show. It's on Hey You, but no, I'm not here to promote Hey Paula in any way, shape, or form. I'm here to promote the idea that Paula Abdul's plane crash never really happened. But anyways, continuing on with who is Paula Abdul, she had a line of jewelry on the Home Shopping Network that did really, really good after her like idol stuff. But no, Paula Abdul does it all, girl. She, if there's something to do, this woman will do it. She's a legend. She's a queen. She's the only person whose resume is at the level of versatility to even freaking rival Queen Sonia Morgan. Toaster oven queen. No, but Paula Abdul is the queen of the Home Shopping Network, and Sonia can't touch that. There's probably a contract or something. I don't know. But anyways, around the whole Home Shopping Network, American Idol era of Paula, there was a ton of crazy, erratic behavior that she exhibited in interviews while advertising on Home Shopping Network, and also, I believe, there was a few episodes she had on Idol where she was a little bit, you know, erratic and being Paula. No, but this was a little bit more than just being a little kooky. She was getting slammed by like everybody online. People were saying all these things, which I will get into later on in the video, because I believe that some of the behavior she exhibits can possibly maybe explain some of this conspiracy. I will definitely dive into that a little bit later on. But until then, here is an interview from 2016 where Paula Abdul is being interviewed over the phone by a radio station. It was KDWB. It's with Dave Ryan, who actually started the Paula conspiracy theory after he interviewed her and looked at some of the other interviews she has given in the past and realized that a few things in her story didn't line up with how she previously said them and has told them in the past. So without further ado, here is the interview that started it all.
And then you weren't as present during some of the 90s, and then all of a sudden, boom, back on American Idol. It has just been a wild ride for you.
Yeah, when I wasn't visible, that's when I was enduring all of the spinal cord surgeries.
Now tell us a little bit about that, because you know what? There's so many things we learn a little bit. You're like an onion, Paula.
You know what?
We peel away layers and we learn more about you as we go.
And we cry sometimes.
And you cry, and then you cry from laughing.
Right. So what? Tell us about the spinal cord injury. What happened with that?
Well, I was on tour, and in the end of 93, it was on my birthday, so I was leaving St. Louis, and I was on a 7-seater private plane.
Okay.
I was going to Denver, and close to 40 minutes into the air, one of the engines blew up and the right wing caught on fire, and we plummeted and I broke through my seatbelt and smashed my head on top of the plane.
So you actually, I mean, this could have been a much more serious of a result, but you broke through your seatbelt, hit your head. You were in a plane crash.
I was in a plane. When I was knocked out, when I came to, everyone was holding hands. The entire plane was in flames. Half the other engine blew, and the co-pilot crash-landed us in a cornfield in Iowa.
Wow. In Iowa?
Somewhere in Iowa, yeah.
Wow. Now, this is a dumb question that has nothing really to do with Paula Abdul, but what do you think when you realize the plane is on fire, you lost an engine? What kind of goes through your mind? Did you think this is it?
Everyone thought this was it. Everyone did, and I said, I was going, no. My life just begun. Help.
Because yeah. you were like maybe 30 years old back then.
I was 27.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
27, and it was not fun.
So, no, that's horrifying.
I mean, you had a spinal cord injury. You're so lucky you weren't paralyzed.
I became paralyzed from the top of my head to my toes, all completely on my right side. And I spent the next 5 years enduring around 11 surgeries. No, around 10. And then when I got American Idol, I ended up having a surgery almost every single season.
Oh boy.
And I just had my 15th operation right before I started this season's auditions. I was literally out of the hospital and 3 days later packed my bags and went on the road for season 8.
Now, aside from the flu, how do you feel right now, Paula?
I feel fantastic, to be honest with you.
You know, so
the last surgery was really successful and has alleviated a lot of the pain.
So I cut there because the rest of the interview is just her promoting, I think, like, not a new song, but it was like about her performance. And I'm pretty sure it was like a plug for her second world tour, which she was embarking on that time. But before I play the RuPaul interview, which is a little bit more recent, it was from 2019, I want you to notice a few things about her story. Paula claims that the plane crash happened on her tour in 1993, although her world tour, Under My Spell, was wrapped in 1992. I also want you to pay attention to what she said about her seatbelt. She said that she, in this interview, she said that her seatbelt just broke upon impact. And now I want you to pay close attention to what she says to RuPaul in her 2019 interview with him, and especially pay attention to those two details. So here's that interview.
You know, you've been in the public eye for many, many years. There was a minute there where you were not so present. Why were you not so present?
A lot of people don't know this, but during the end of my world tour, the Spellbound tour, when I was traveling from one city to the next, one in a small seven-seater plane, one of the engines blew up and the right wing caught on fire and we crash landed. I didn't have my seatbelt on. Oh. And I hit my head on the top of the plane, and that went on to go, I withstood 15 cervical spinal surgeries.
Oh, no.
And I had to take seven years off, and then I reappeared on American Idol.
Okay, so that was the RuPaul interview. If you notice, the story was quite a bit shorter than the last one she told on the 2016 interview. And Paula, we all know that it's one or the other. Oh, God. I'm so sorry to everybody watching because I have a lot of different jokes coming up. I made a few. Tried not to laugh, but you know what? These jokes are just going to get funnier and funnier because this podcast is just getting less and less serious as time goes on. It's okay, though, because we're going to actually get serious and we're going to cover these topics in between these horrible Paula Abdul song puns, and we're going to get to the bottom of this conspiracy. But anyways, if you remember the 2016 interview she did, she said that the plane crash was actually in 1993 when she wasn't touring, and she also said that she would have been 27 around that time, and a little messy because even the interviewers corrected her and said, you would have been 30, no? And she's like, no, I was 27. So right there, and then they clocked one of her lies in her story. And a quick Google search can quite quickly reveal that Paula Abdul wasn't touring in 1993. The last date on her Under My Spell tour, which was her tour for the Spellbound album, which was released in 1991. And with her final date of the tour being, hold on, it was officially August 7th, 1992 in New Jersey. No offense to anybody who lives in New Jersey, but I don't know. It's just funny. Why am I laughing? I don't know. No, but the tour date is the only thing that really matters. Who cares if it's in New Jersey or New York or wherever? It's irrelevant. What's relevant is that the tour wrapped in August 1992, which automatically places her claim that she was on tour during 1993, and that's when the plane crash happened, as a little bit incredibly factually wrong. So now that we've got that being, you know, impossible out of the way, we also have yet another inconsistency. That is the seatbelt. If you noticed in the 2016 radio interview, Paula said that she had her seatbelt on, and when she crashed, the seatbelt broke and she hit her head on the top of the plane. The injury is consistent in pretty much all of her other stories, including the RuPaul one. However, the fact that she was wearing a seatbelt that broke through upon impact is not. In the RuPaul interview, she says that she was not wearing her seatbelt, which makes a lot more sense because Paula Abdul is one little skinny bitch. And I don't think that she would be able to break her seatbelt through upon landing or crash landing or whatever. Which is like, girl, were you wearing your damn seatbelt or not? If you're gonna spread a lie, at least make it consistent, which you are not doing. Upon some of her consistencies, she seems pretty consistent that the plane crash landed in Iowa. Now, I know another one of her consistencies in telling the story is that she was flying on a seven-seater private jet. The flight path from Denver to St. Louis is usually straight through Kansas. I don't know why they would go to Iowa. Iowa is above Missouri, which is where St. Louis is, so how they landed in a cornfield in Iowa, not a freaking clue. It seems a little bit, you know, illogical that they would divert a flight up to Iowa if the plane was on fire and an engine was down. I don't know how they'd be able to, you know, divert it completely off the flight path and into another state. I feel like it's also worth mentioning the fact that the tour dates for St. Louis and the Denver show are not on her official website, nor the Wikipedia page, which I only can assume pulled tour dates from her website, because everything that's on the website is on the Wikipedia page. So there's that. But I'm about to show you guys something that will completely, you know, how do I say this in a polite way? This is going to completely poke a huge, giant hole in Paula's most consistent story about this plane crash, and that is the fact that there was actually a tour date between the Denver and the St. Louis shows. So since these tour dates weren't available on her website, some digging had to be done into revealing exactly when the tour dates happened. And the St. Louis date was actually on June 19th, 1992. And this was thanks to a concert review from the St. Louis Dispatch, which ran 2 days after the 21st of June. And that performance was actually Paula Abdul's 30th birthday as well. So, yeah. Anyways, further digging had to be done in order to uncover the date of the Denver show and a Entertainment Weekly report, and it stated that the tour date for that show was on the 22nd of June 1992. So I know what you're thinking. If she was in a plane crash, why didn't she just cancel the show? Well, let me tell you why, and let me show you a huge hole that will make her story completely implausible, and this is even the more realistic story. This is actually the existence of, get this, a Kansas show that was performed June 20th, 1992. Yeah. So she didn't have one show in St. Louis and then one in Denver, and she actually had one in between the two that also, surprisingly, was not canceled. So right off the bat, the first cancellations on her tour were June 11th, 1992, which is a Utah show, June 13th, 1992, which was a New Mexico show, June 16th, 1992, which was an Oklahoma City show, June 18th, 1992, and that's it for the month of June 1992. And if you notice, all of these dates were before the alleged plane crash supposedly happened. So I do wonder, what was it that actually had all those shows canceled? And because we all know it wasn't actually a plane crash that canceled them. So then we go to the next slew of canceled dates, and that is July 18th, 1992, July 10th, 1992, July 12th, 1992, and last of all, July 30th, 1992. And I believe that it is also, I believe all of these shows were also rescheduled as well. So yeah, it's certainly not looking good for Miss Paula, especially after she was out here in these interviews saying that after her plane crash, she had to take 7 years off from the public eye and all that jazz, when in reality, she somehow continued her tour and, you know, continued to, you know, live her life. Also, if you know anything about Paula Abdul, you'll know that she only released like 3 albums and only really took her hiatus after she released her 1996 album Head Over Heels, and it did really, really bad commercially. Like, I think it peaked at like number 18 on the Billboard Top 200 charts. Spellbound, also her 1991 record, didn't really do too well on the Billboard charts, and she was the at the time, she was the artist with the lowest selling number one album ever. Like, the sales that week for all other albums, I guess, were just really bad, and Paula's were just a little bit better, so she got the number one spot. But she did have quite a few hits from that album and had a massively successful tour, which actually wasn't canceled due to a plane crash that happened on the tour. Like, the show went on, and she didn't take her 7 years off like she claimed she did. She just did things that slid under the radar. Like, she continued her tour despite the fact that she was allegedly paralyzed in this plane crash. I think she said only on the right side, but still, girl, you were not doing all those dance moves on stage and somehow paralyzed in a plane crash like a day before, and also going on to release another studio album a few years later. Hello, Paula. Hello. You did not take 7 years off, honey. Just because you want the world to forget doesn't mean we actually will. She also did a workout video in 1995, the same year she released Head Over Heels. It was it was a it was an exercise video, and she did this a little after the era of Jane Fonda, like a Jane Fonda have her workout. I think Jane Fonda had her workout records in the late 70s, early 80s, and she started a new wave for these new pop girls to do something when their career was dried up and they weren't getting top 10 Billboard 200 hits. Oh, but anyways, the album didn't really do so well commercially because it was a bit more experimental and less poppy Paula, as I would call it. It did debut on number 18, and she did continue to release a few singles in the late 90s. She also had a record planned for 1997, which never got recorded, unfortunately. However, she did write that song, and she actually gave it to somebody to sing, and that somebody was Kylie Minogue. Legends helping legends. No, but she penned her hit single, Spinning Around, which was actually meant to be a slow song, and I couldn't really imagine it being a slow song sung by Paula. Kylie pulls it off so well, you would think she wrote it, choreographed it, sang it herself, and Paula Abdul was not involved at all. No, but seriously, whenever I do hear that song now, I do think, I could totally see Paula singing this. But unfortunately for her, it wasn't meant to be, I guess. She also continued with her work as a choreographer in the late 90s. She worked as a choreographer on films and theater productions. She was actually the choreographer for American Beauty, which was, I've actually never seen that movie. But I've only heard good things about it other than Kevin Spacey. Fuck that guy. And then I'm not too sure what she did in the next 2 years before she joined American Idol. But no, she definitely did not take 7 years off from her life, her career, whatever, because, girl, we have the damn receipts, okay? Let's get into the logistics of flightology. It's the study of what to do when your plane crashes in a field in Iowa. I can't do this. I cannot do this. Okay, so back to reality and back to all of the logistics of what to do when you are in a plane crash, or more so, what is legally pretty much done in the United States when there is a plane crash. So pretty much, the National Transportation Safety Board has a database which contains all of the plane crashes and stuff like that, that, you know, goes on. And if it's a big plane crash, like, you know, a crash landing with a plane on fire, I'm pretty sure that that would be enough to warrant an entry into this database. So pretty much, if you look up a seven-seater plane, I believe between the years of 1992 to 1993, you won't find really any results for anything in a cornfield in Iowa or anything even in the general vicinity of that area, which is a little weird. A little bit weird, Paula. However, she said she didn't really want to come forward and tell her story up until the early 2000s, which was the first time anyone's really ever been able to find anything relating to Paula speaking out about her plane crash. And she said that she wanted to keep it hush hush. No, but seriously, she did want to keep it under wraps. She didn't want people knowing about it. But I'm pretty sure that not, you know, alerting authorities saying, hi, my plane crashed in a field. It's on fire. Please help. And at this point, she was pretty well known. She was very famous. She was getting a lot of radio play. She's on tour. She just had an album come out last year, and she had a ton of hits off of it. It would be very hard to keep all that under wraps. She said that it wasn't because, you know, it was because, oh, the press was different back then. Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure if someone's plane crashed, it would make at least local papers, honey. And that's even if the person isn't really, you know, famous. So it's a little bit strange that it's never been recorded or even told to the National Transport Safety Board that, you know, there was a plane crash that happened, especially if it literally caught on fire and crash landed in a field like she claimed it did. So pretty much, the Jezebel conspiracy article that came out last year had a lot of information, especially about the National Transportation Safety Board, which I'm using as my little bit of a guide for this because I don't really know a lot about America and American policies and stuff like that. I am a Canadian. We're cool, and we, I guess, I don't know. Do you have to report all plane crashes in Canada? I'm pretty sure you did. So pretty much, they reached out to a spokesperson for the NTSB and asked, so what the hell is this? And why would this crash not be reported to you guys? And they said that it is pretty unlikely for that to happen, and it could be possible that it was never reported, only if wreckage was never found. So pretty much they all decided to go, yeah, there's a plane on fire in your field. Just pretend it never happened. Could you imagine that? I don't think it would fly over well with really anybody. How the fuck are you just going to hide a plane in a cornfield? It doesn't make any sense. Someone would find it. Someone would be pissed off that there's a plane on their property. Someone would be mad that their cows got interrupted. I don't know. It's just so weird. Like, are you telling me that they just left a plane in a field and said, well, our job here is done? No! No! No, no, no! The author of this article also reached out to the Federal Aviation Administration and said that it would be possible that a crash would have not been investigated if it had resulted in minor damage to the airplane and minor injuries to those on board. And Paula Abdul getting paralyzed and a plane catching on fire are not really what I would call minor damage or minor injuries. In this case, it would simply be considered an incident and not an accident. But if Paula really was on an accident at this caliber, it would most definitely have been investigated. Like, even if so much as there was turbulence on the flight, she was literally the pop princess at the time. Like, it would have been investigated. It's so weird to me that they were just all like, oh my God, okay, it's good, it's good. It's not good, honey. You have crash landed in a cornfield and you are not okay. You are allegedly paralyzed. But she was allegedly paralyzed with a secret to keep. She told Larry King after he said, oh, I never heard of, you know, you being in a plane crash. She told him that she didn't really want any attention from this incident because she wanted to sort of keep it under wraps. And she allegedly, she was quoted as saying she worked it out publicity-wise as she didn't want to milk it and make it seem like she was a victim here. But that's what she said in 2005 with Larry King. And then she told Allison Google, I believe is how you say her last name. This is from a written interview. She said, back then, we didn't have tabloids like we do now. We didn't have the extent of the paparazzi or the internet. So you were able to contain some information. The information I believe that you would be able to, you know, contain back then is, you know, who you were dating and not, oh, I was in a huge fiery plane crash that landed in a field in Iowa. Like, I mean, you definitely had some privacy back then, but, you know, I don't think you would have the privacy of, you know, having your own private plane crash. Your own private Idaho, honey. It is your own private plane crash in Idaho. Oh, the jokes just write themselves here. Let me just say that she switched up real quickly, especially in the recent era, in the Paula Abdul plane crash conspiracy era timeline, there are a few different eras. There's the era of the alleged plane crash, the era she decided to come forward, and the current era, which is pretty much 90s, 2000s, and the 10s. That's each era. So in this era, she's becoming an icon, a legend, and a spokesperson for plane crash survivors, I guess. No, but seriously, she's talking about it in pretty much every interview now. Everyone's like, so you were in a plane crash? And she's like, yes. And she talks about it so much that she even talked about it on her Forever Your Girl tour, which was her first major tour since the Under My Spell tour in 1991, where she had the alleged 1991 to 1992, sorry, where she had the alleged plane crash. And this is a quote from her Staten Island show. She said, it all happened when I boarded a 7-seater plane, and an hour into the flight, one of the engines blew up. The right wing caught fire and everything went black. She told the crowd, I woke up only to find that I had crushed my cervical spine, leaving me partially paralyzed. The injuries she suffered affected her not only physically but mentally too. For the first time in my life, doubt overweighed my spirit, she said. I disappeared for 7 years. Oh God, another, I disappeared for 7 years. Girl, head over heels exists. It exists. Don't try and tell anybody else otherwise, because we all saw it. We all saw that train wreck, honey. It wasn't a train wreck. It's not a bad album, but commercially, not very good. I disappeared for 7 years and endured 15 cervical spine surgeries with the top doctors from around the world with hopes that they'd put me back together again. And I guess they did, because I mean, she went on a world tour. Pretty much, this was the story she told on her 2018 world tour, which was the Forever Your Girl tour. Oh, I'm never going to sing on this podcast again. So anyways, on that, she said, hey, I was in a plane crash. She didn't really say anything else about how she injured her spine. She didn't mention the quote-unquote usual suspects about this story. She just really said that she was in a plane crash. She kept it neat. She kept it simple. Didn't really go into detail, which is how she probably should have started off telling this big little plane crash story. Because once you start getting into fake details that aren't real and don't exist, that's when you start running into problems, Paula. And that's when people like me are like, hey, two and two don't go together. And something's not adding up here. Speaking of little things that just simply do not add up, let me get right into a little bit about the tour. So the Spellbound tour, not Spellbound, Under My Spell. Spellbound is the album. Under My Spell is the tour. I get that mixed up quite a bit. If I say tour, I mean Under My Spell tour. And if I say Spellbound tour, you know what tour I'm talking about, hopefully. So pretty much kicked off October 26, 1991. And ran until August 7th, 1992, which was obviously well past the June, I was going to say June 20th crash, but I realized that this is the only plane crash Paula Abdul alleges to have been involved with. But there were 75 shows in North America, 6 in Australia, and 16 in Asia, with a total of 97 shows. Yay, Paula. Paula had 11 trucks, 9 buses, 9 musicians, 8 dancers, and 2 stilt walkers, and hundreds of support personnel on the road for her spectacular tour. And that was just a direct quote from her website. And the tour was nearly canceled due to an accident during rehearsals. However, it began to schedule, it began on schedule in October 1991, and it actually concluded in August 1992, when, you know, the tour was supposed to conclude, not when the plane crash paralyzed Paula. Ugh, but here's where it gets funny. Paula actually injured her leg during rehearsals for the tour. And this leg injury was an accident that happened when Paula caught the heel of her shoe in a groove on one of the stages. Paula was actually planning on canceling the shows until a Chinese acupuncture's cure allowed her to dance pain-free again. And that was courtesy, again, of her official website. What's really weird about this is that she also stated that this is going to be another inconsistency. This is so stupid. She said in a 2008 interview with Parade that she broke her leg on a 1991 dance rehearsal for one of her live shows. Girl, what the fuck? You cannot say that you broke your leg and have no proof whatsoever, and even have other interviews where you have said, it's just like a little injury, it's fine, I'm fine. And I'm pretty sure that you can't really cure a broken bone with acupuncture, honey. So definitely get your story straight on that one, too. Paula Abdul, you need a new publicist, honey, because whatever you have right now is not working out for you. For real. I'll be your publicist. I know exactly what you've done wrong, and I will, like, literally hold your ass accountable like I already am, honey, because guess what? You're going to fucking lose so much credibility with the public. Vanessa Iconic for Paula's Publicist 2021. No. I'm just kidding. Speaking about publicists and Paula's people, if you've seen the TV show that she did with Bravo. It was a reality TV show. It lasted for about one season. It happened in the 2000s. You would know that Paula has a team of people that she holds crazy, crazy, crazy high standards to. Like, if you watch the entire 7 episodes of Hey Paula, she was doing a bunch of things for HSN and stuff like that, and she was, like, snapping on these people. She, like, berated an assistant because she brought the wrong pair of pants. And there's so many fucking glorious moments on there. Like, she was having a breakdown because she was told by the people who did the Bratz live action movie that they did not want her to be an executive producer, and she had a breakdown. She said one of my favorite quotes ever. I'm gonna play a compilation of Hey Paula out of context, and you can guess which one my favorite is, but it's crazy, it's kooky, it's literally a 7 episode long Neely O'Hara moment. Here is a compilation of some of my favorite out of context Hey Paula moments.
Most people's days are 24 hours. Mine are 48. Welcome to Paula time.
Grammys aren't about being popular, which I always have been. Hence, only one Grammy.
Why the hell do I care? Last time I had a hit record, Bill and Hillary were having sex.
It's a long time ago.
I get screwed over so much and I work so hard. This is not fair.
There's a Panda Express and a Starbucks. Between the two, we can figure out a whole well-balanced meal.
You need to go tell him I worked my ass off on doing that. My ass off, Jeff, okay? And I put way more thought and care into it than anyone else ever possibly could. That's because I know this movie, I know these girls, and I know this project. And to be screwed over, I've already had it. This is not okay. And I've already been hurt by this, and I don't want to be in a bad mood right now.
Why all of this other BS takes place is a mystery that I'm always trying to solve. And sometimes I just get too tired trying to figure it out.
This isn't about perception. It's all about perception. So I am exhausted keeping it up.
They beat me down.
They're beating me down.
But I'm a warrior.
I'm tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am. It's hurtful.
I can't go with it.
2 hours. You know you like that.
You guys, please. I'm trying to tell a goddamn story.
I really scratch my head and I wonder, where's God when you need him? Because this does not make any sense.
Okay. So, that was just a little bit, you know, crazy, over the top, inexplicable. And I just want to point out that most of those quotes are actually from her live action Bratz movie. Yeah. A lot of her freakouts on the show were pretty much attributed to that. The producers on that show the movie did not really want to work with Paula. It's not really explained why. She just has a few breakdowns over it. And yeah, so as you could have noticed from her behavior and her strange reactions to, you know, not being involved in a Bratz live action movie, she had a few moments, a few complete Neely O'Hara crazy person moments around this time. She was doing a lot of interviews that seemed very off. She was acting a little bit strange, to put it nicely. A lot of people at this time speculated that she was using drugs or drinking a lot of alcohol, heavily drinking, was an alcoholic, etc. But here is a bit of an interview that she had with a local news station, and I'm going to play it, and I'm going to see what you think.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you. Well, off the bat, what do Idol fans have to look forward to this season, and what are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, is that what it is? I was wondering, what is that?
Somebody else must be talking to Paula. Are you there, Paula? Paula, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
I'm going to ask that question one more time, okay?
I'll tell you.
Okay, what do Idol fans have to look forward to this season? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I don't know if she can hear us right now.
I think we're having audio problems.
Yeah,
wow.
I think we are. I think we might be having some problems.
We're going to try to get back with Paula.
Good morning, everybody.
She can hear us.
So tell us, what are you looking forward to this season?
How about a lot of you coming in? It's a wild party where you are.
That's what we hear. We hear that Simon has actually said that this had some of the worst singers that he's ever heard. What did you think of the singers in Seattle?
Well, I have to agree with Simon.
Oh, no.
Paula?
Hey, you know what? It is what it is. And it was brilliant. You know what?
Take it back.
They said, listen, any publicity is good publicity. You got to learn to eat it up and embrace it and say, Seattle had the best delusional people.
Oh, no.
Right. Now, we talked with Fox Network about what was up with Paula. They acknowledged that during the very beginning of that interview, there was an audio problem. Paula was actually hearing a Fox TV station in Memphis and didn't hear our questions from Seattle. But after that, the audio was fixed, and you saw how the rest of that interview went. Now, we weren't alone. Several other stations had interesting interviews with Paula. Here's one from Houston that you didn't see this morning.
Houston has, in the past, gotten a really bad rap. But I was there. I get it. I think somewhat so. Houston has redeemed themselves because Seattle was the all-time woo! Not anymore. Season 6, new Paula. Yes, Simon's becoming nicer and I'm becoming a little more rotten like him.
Okay, so that interview was one that created a ton of public speculation. As you can see, even the radio stations were like, or not radio stations, news stations were like, what is going on with you, Paula girl? And it kind of was explained as, oh, she had different, you know, radio, or I keep saying radio stations, it's news stations. She had different news stations in like her ear, and that would personally throw me off. But cheer behavior, even after that whole technical issue was fixed, is quite erratic. It's if you can't really see it, because I mean it's just audio, but if you look up literally Paula Abdul drunk interview, anything Paula Abdul on drugs interview, you will definitely see this video. She is moving around a lot. She's like super erratic. She's spinning in her chair. Her head is like bopping around, and she's kind of slurring her words. Her words are a little bit, you know, like kind of what you would hear the voice of someone who's, you know, drank a bit or, you know, taken some drugs. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to say something. I mean, this is a podcast about, you know, Paula Abdul's plane crash. And I think that there's a lot to uncover about her in order to realize that she probably is not a very consistent person. And I'm going to bring up another inconsistency. So Paula said that at this point that she was never on drugs. She was never, she said in an interview that she has never been drunk, which I don't really believe. However, I mean, maybe she just doesn't enjoy drinking alcohol. Maybe, you know, maybe harder drugs are a little bit more Paula's style, so I'm not going to really say too much on that. However, while she has like completely flat out said, oh, I don't do drugs, I don't drink, there has been a few interviews where she did talk about taking medications for pain management. So in Parade, she said that since she experienced two accidents, a 1992 car crash that left her with neck injuries, and a 1993 plane crash again left her partially paralyzed and required 15 spinal surgeries, she developed an addiction to prescription painkillers. And that was 2008, and allegedly she said that she sought treatment for this addiction, and this is what she told Parade. Now, however, she does go on to contradict herself, because in a 2007 Us Weekly interview, she said that she's never done drugs or Been Drunk again. The I've Never Been Drunk classic. But no, I do believe that she might have just meant, oh, I don't do illegal drugs, and just forgot the fact that she was on prescription painkillers for a long time, because a lot of the time she does talk about being on prescription painkillers. In the 2003 Dateline interview she did, which was actually the first mention of any plane crash that was found. And now what's interesting about this interview is that she claims that she, on her Under My Spell tour, she actually had a torn knee, and she did about 30 or so shows about this. This is the first time I've seen this claim, and I don't think I've ever seen this claim in any other interview. So it's just another girl, why are you just, I don't know. I feel like, I want to believe Paula, but at this point, I've just found so many inconsistencies in her stories that every time I hear something new come out of her mouth, I'm like, this girl is lying. And I feel bad because I would like to believe her. But I mean, she just keeps lying and she keeps lying and she keeps lying. So it's hard. It really is hard. So pretty much she talked about the painkillers, and she said she was in aggressive pain for many, many, many years because she was in a cheerleading accident when she was 17, which I think she fell. She was dropped. Who dropped Paula? No, but seriously, she was dropped, and I guess she had a spinal injury there from being dropped. And she also cites a few car crashes, and we're going to get into that a little bit later and talk about the car crashes. But she also then drops the bomb that she was in a plane crash. She says about the pills, she says, it is something that is so aggressive, the pain, and it takes your breath away and makes your teeth start chattering because it is so uncomfortable. They gave me pills that would put a 300-pound man out, and there was no answer. Sometimes medicine doesn't work. Which is interesting because she does talk about how she suffers from a neurological disorder called reflex sympathetic dystrophy. It causes chronic pain, and she talked about being medicated on this for quite a while. She also says that she is currently pain-free, which is yay. And she is on Enbrel, which I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure it's an anti-inflammatory medication. Yeah, it's an anti-inflammatory medication. However, she has been open about how sometimes things didn't really work out for her. She has said that some medication doesn't really work. And she actually, in May 2009, told the Ladies Home Journal that she had stayed at La Costa Resort and Spa in California for 3 days previous year, so 2008. She had to recover from a physical dependence on prescription pain medications due to her injuries and the RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, diagnosis. And some of her prescriptions included a pain patch, nerve medication, and a muscle relaxant. So Paula also admitted that some of these medications had made her, quote unquote, get weird at times, and that she had suffered from physical withdrawal during her recovery. However, it would line up with the fact that she was a little loopy in like February 2007, which was sort of, you know, the whole, insane interviews. And also, hey, Paula. So that could be an explanation for that. However, and oh my God, yet another contradiction. Literally a week later, not even a week later, it was the same week, she was in an interview with a Detroit radio station, WKQI, and she actually rejected the article's accuracy. And she told the radio station she had never checked into any sort of rehab and she had never had a drug abuse problem. Girl, if you don't stop flip-flopping and tell the truth and be consistent, because she said that she had problems dealing with pain and problems with medications, and she also said that she had also become dependent in another interview. Like, girl, if you don't keep your story straight, that's why you're always being accused of being a liar. And maybe she is a liar, because guess what? I have caught so many of her inconsistencies. The plane crash that never happened. She's lying about that. She's lying about whether or not I'm going to say that she is on pain medication, because you can't just say, oh, I was in rehab, and then be like, oh, I never said that. Because, I mean, it's obviously going to come from somewhere, Paula. Seriously, she's lied about all of her injuries. She's making stuff up at this point, and I don't even know why. I can only theorize why this is happening and why this is going on. Anyways, let's get to some other crazy shit. Paula Abdul and the car crashes. Car crashes. They all actually happened. They were all reported on, and there's all some sort of record on them happening. She did say that some of the pain that she experienced was from some of these car crashes. And for a long time, that was just, oh, it was just car crash pain. But I guess maybe she wanted to justify the fact that she took pills for pain or pain management, and she said, you know what? I was in a plane crash too. Fuck y'all. But anyways, there are three car crashes that she has been in that have been documented. Let's run through them. So our first documented car crash is in 1990. The article said Miss Abdul's 1989 Black Jaguar rear-ended another car, triggering a collision with a third car on Laurel Canyon Boulevard in Studio City, 10 miles north of downtown LA, said the police sergeant. Miss Abdul's car rear-ended a car driven by Charles Coco, 37, of North Hollywood, and Coco's car then rammed into the back of a third car. And here's what the officer said. He said that there are two options. Either Miss Abdul was speeding or she was following them too closely. and a 1992 car accident was also mentioned very briefly. That's when she talks about it in interviews and said that she has been left in debilitating pain after that car accident. I don't think I could really find any articles on it, but I did find one briefly saying that she was in a car accident, so that does prove it. It was dated in 1992, so she was in a second one. I will confirm that because it was not from, if Paula didn't say it, I'll believe it. So, anyways, 2002, we have, we have three car crashes and a, hold on, let me get through the second, or the, not the second, the third one. Her car in 2002 was rear-ended on the LA freeway. Neither Abdul, who was driving her own car, nor the woman driving the other car was injured, so that's good, the one car crash no one was injured in, or so we think. So, in 2005, Paula Abdul was caught in a hit and run. It's not funny, but it is. So pretty much the city's attorney said that there was a Mercedes-Benz belonging to American Idol judge clipped another vehicle on the 101 highway in San Fernando Valley in December 20th, 2004. The driver apparently failed to look while changing lanes and did not stop to exchange information. The spokesperson told the Associated Press that there were no injuries. The driver and passenger in the car that got clipped took down the Mercedes license plate and photographed it with a cell phone camera. And so there was that. Paula just hit somebody and then drove off. So I guess she wasn't injured in that car crash because it would be convenient for her not to. If you have a hit and run, I wouldn't go around saying I was injured in a hit and run because my dumbass hit a car and decided, let me get out of here real quickly. So here's what happened to her. Celebrity Justice reported on it and reported that the driver was the driver of the clipped car had called Highway Patrol, and they had then contacted Abdul, who said her car was in the shop the day in question. She also said the vehicle suddenly died on the freeway, even though mechanics couldn't really find anything wrong. And Celebrity Justice says that Abdul told that the California Highway Patrol that she only remembers hitting a pothole around the time of an incident. So again, she was saying, oh, my car wasn't there, my car wasn't working, my car died. And then all of a sudden she was like, oh, actually, I just remember hitting a pothole. So another backpedaling, and she got caught in another lie. She did get charged. It was a misdemeanor, and it was a maximum punishment of 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. However, in March 2005, Abdul was fined $900 and given 24 months of informal probation. Ouch. She pleaded no contest, and she was ordered to pay $775 for damage to the other car. So, Yeah, no. Surprisingly, that wasn't a huge controversy. Like, I think, did Britney Spears get involved in a hit and run? I think so. There's a lot of celebrities in the 2000s that were like, let me do a hit and run, child. Like, I guess even when you get as big as I am, bad publicity is still publicity. All Neely O'Hara up in there. Also, the 1st car crash, 1990, she had to go to the hospital because she was in pain in her head, neck, and upper body. The more recent one and the hit and run, she did not report any injuries. However, the 1992 car accident, she did say she was injured in. However, this hit and run is not exactly Paula's first controversy. She has been involved in so many different controversies throughout like her career. She's like been involved in a lot of controversy, a lot of interesting things. So here we go. A few years ago, a backup singer claimed that she contributed uncredited lead vocals to two songs on Abdul's debut album. A few months later, two tell-all books also said that she had an affair with singer Jackie Jackson, whose marriage she allegedly broke up, and one of those books was actually from LaToya Jackson. So, I mean, I really, no offense, but if there's one person out of the, actually, there's a lot of people in the Jackson family I don't trust. LaToya is definitely one of them. She's sort of the irrelevant sister that people forget about because she didn't really do a lot. And she's sort of crazy. She went on live TV and was like blasting her brother, and she was like saying all this, and she, I don't know if she's exactly a credible source. But yeah, no. In the 80s, there was a lot of people, Millie Vanilli, that got caught not doing their own lead vocals. And so she became like super like publicly targeted, and the singer Yvette Marine, who was hired as the demo vocalist for Opposites Attract, actually sued Virgin Records, claiming that the voice was on the song's lead vocals. Oof. And this was definitely a big deal, and it prompted an authenticity witch hunt amid public suspicion that music video performers weren't actually singing their songs. And of course, Paula had a ton of bad publicity and was reported as the latest lip sync scandal. There we go. She also ultimately won. She was at every court case, and it made headlines just as she was about to release her second album, Spellbound. Now again, the Neely O'Hara quote, "All publicity is good publicity when you get to my height," really comes in mind here, because I mean, Paula Abdul is pretty much, she's having a few Neely O'Hara moments all the time, especially when she was out there talking about them plane crashes. So, this was putting a bit of a dent in her public image, and especially back in that era when she was still trying to make it and still releasing albums, it was definitely denting her image. And now the media really weren't super kind to her in the wake of this, and even throughout like her entire career. Here's an article from Greensboro. It's actually from 1992, and it says a few things about the controversies she went through. She had a really, really unflattering MTV performance, and she was kind of called fat for it. And I feel bad because it's not nice. And then it was all the, can she really sing? Is she fat? Is she a homewrecker? And this is directly being quoted from the article. Who knows? But I feel bad because, like, she got so much bad press and she kind of didn't really deserve it. I mean, I would be pissed off if LaToya Jackson was talking shit about me and I was Paula Abdul, I would actually send her a cease and desist, because LaToya likes to run her mouth. I'm sorry, but it's so true. I'm out here talking about who Paula wants to should cease and desist, and I'm talking shit about her. I'm shitting on her entire career. I'm throwing out all of these conspiracies about her, and I'm going to get a cease and desist before LaToya, which is unfortunate, but I mean, hey, that's life. Moving on, I'm going to talk about some of the post-American Idol, or not post-American Idol, like some of the controversies that occurred during American Idol era, so 2000s. After she released Spellbound, she sort of, her controversy sort of died off. And then again in American Idol, a contestant alleged that Paula had an affair with him while he was on Idol. This was pretty much disproven. They did an investigation. She was like, I really don't know you, but I don't fuck with you for trying that. And so, yeah, it was disproven. Again, it wasn't disproven directly by Paula. There was an investigation that occurred, so I do believe it. In 2006 of April... In April 2006, Abdul actually filed a report at the Hollywood police station, and she claimed that she was a victim of battery at a private party at 1 a.m. April 2nd, and she had a man argue with her aggressively and then grabbed her by the arm and threw her against a wall. And the lieutenant actually said that she had sustained a concussion and spinal injuries due to this. I know she's a little light, but it would have to be a really, really hard smack for you to get a concussion and spinal injuries from someone throwing you against the wall. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. Can't say anything about that, really, but that's unfortunate. I hope that guy did get charged if that actually happened. Also, a few years later, in 2008, a 30-year-old woman named Paula Goodspeed was found dead in her car outside of Paula Abdul's L.A. home. The death was actually ruled a suicide, and she was found surrounded by prescription pills with photos and CDs of Abdul, and this was pretty much just an obsessive fan who actually legally changed her name to Paula, drawn pictures of her, and sent her flowers and auditions for American Idol. It was kind of scary. I do feel bad for her. That is very traumatizing to just go outside and be like, oh my God, someone just killed themselves in their car. I just realized we're at the hour point. So I am going to start wrapping this up and I'm going to conclude our controversial queen. I'm going to run through this story again real quickly about the plane crash. And I'm going to say what I think really happened, why I think she's doing this, and all that jazz. So pretty much starting in 2003, Paula started saying that she was in a 1992 to 1993 plane crash. She's been very inconsistent on the dates. She sometimes says it was during her 1992 tour, and then sometimes she'll say 1983, and then sometimes she'll say even 1993 tour, which she just simply is not on tour in 1993, so that's pretty quickly disproven. She also is pretty inconsistent on what happened when she crashed. She sometimes says that she was wearing a seatbelt and she just broke through it, and then sometimes she says, I was not wearing my seatbelt. There's inconsistencies on a lot of different interviews and a lot of different events are recounted. She will sometimes just bring up injuries and say, oh, on my tour, I sustained this, I got this. And examples of that were how she talked about how she allegedly did 30 shows with a torn knee. She said that she broke her leg during rehearsals but healed on time. And then on her website, it says that she pulled her leg I don't believe it was specified, but she did say it was cured by acupuncture, and a broken bone cannot be cured by acupuncture. That's just how it is. You need to like put it on a cast and rest with it. You cannot use any sort of alternate medicine to completely heal it and have it back quickly enough for you to start the tour on time. It just doesn't make any sense. Something else that doesn't really make any sense about the plane crash is that no one else has actually said, oh yeah, me and Paula were on the plane together. She had a 7-person plane and she had a huge crew. I took the time out of my day to actually Google every single person who was on her Spellbound tour as a musician, a dancer, or just a crew member, and I haven't found anything about a plane crash or any claims from them saying, yes, I was in the plane crash with Paula. And I mean, if they were, I really think that they should come forward and just straight up. No, but they seriously should come forward and be like, I was in the plane crash with Paula. I know she's a little crazy, but you know what? I was there. until then, I'm going to be stuck being a Paula Abdul conspiracy theorist, Paula Abdul plane crash truther, if you will. We also see sort of a lot of inconsistency in the 7 years, which is personally like one of my favorite parts of this whole thing, is that she said she took 7 years off from her career after this plane crash, which didn't happen. She was active for 7 years after the alleged plane crash. She was active literally every single year after the plane crash for 7 years. And she, I'm pretty sure she was kind of gone throughout the 2000s and till the 2002 when she joined American Idol. So that would be 2 years, and that would not be directly after the plane crash. That was probably a few years after a car crash that she did that she was in pain for. And on the topic of pain, a lot of her pain management, her use of prescriptions, drugs was a little inconsistent around here, as she did say that she was using them to manage her pain, and then said in another interview that she is no longer using medication and her prescriptions, and she was actually addicted to them and had to go to rehab. And then another time she was like, oh, I never did drugs. I've never even done a prescription pill. I've never even done this, this, and this, and I've never gone to rehab. I never was addicted. And it's like, please just get your story straight, honey. I mean, if you had your story straight about the plane crash and maybe you had some proof to back it up, we would not be in this predicament right now. But guess what? I'm going to say it. I completely think that she is lying about the plane crash, in case I haven't made that clear. The plane crash never happened. What I think happened is that she was in a couple of car crashes. She, yeah, maybe that injury she had when she was 17, when she was a cheerleader and she was dropped, definitely did screw up her back. And then the car crashes and the dancing and all those intense choreographed moves were a little bit much, and she really couldn't. Her back couldn't handle it after so much injury and trauma and all those car crashes that she was actually in that were reported on, definitely did not help either. So I do think that she was in some pain due to those crashes. Definitely no plane crash happened, because, I mean, we have so much proof to show that she was never in a plane crash and that there was not even a plane that crashed and matched that description during the time frame she gave us. So I'm pretty much completely ruling out any sort of plane crash, anything. I think that she is completely lying. The plane crash story is fabricated. But, like, seriously, why would somebody fabricate a plane crash incident? Well, I actually have a few theories on that one. I genuinely think that she used the plane crash to sort of excuse her drug problem, addiction, alleged problem. Alleged, not problem. I don't know. I don't know what's true, but I definitely would say that she was under the influence of drugs sometime during her career. I wouldn't put it past it to be pain medication that made her so loopy, as she previously said that she's been acting weird under her prescription pain medication. It was a little weird to me that she denied it right after, but it just kind of goes to show that, you know, she does a lot of things and has a lot of inconsistent interviews such as that. I think that her saying she was in a plane crash would make it a lot more sympathetic for her to come forward about drug addiction and say, I was in a plane crash, it caused a lot of pain, and it did this, this, and this, as opposed to, oh, I was in a few car crashes, and I had a painkiller problem after because I was in so much pain from the car crash accidents. But Paula, ain't nobody going to judge you. We're going to judge you if you do lie about a plane crash story, though. I feel like if you were to say, I was in a plane crash versus I was in a car crash, you get a lot more sympathy if you were in a plane crash. So I definitely think that she uses that to deflect from her behaviors and how she acted under the influence of her pain medication. And she uses that as a, I am in so much pain, I was literally in a plane crash, as kind of an excuse. And I think she even does it to herself. She was like, I was in a plane crash, so I'm in a lot of pain. That's why. Because I feel like if you were to tell people that you had a prescription pain addiction after being dropped or being in a car crash, you wouldn't get the same sympathetic response if you said, oh, I was in a plane crash and I've been in chronic pain ever since. So I think that she uses the plane crash story to sort of gain sympathy that she would not really otherwise get from a lot of the media if it was actually the truth being said. I think that her plane crash might also be a cover-up for some of the controversies she's had in her career. As I said before, there is quite a few. There's all those interviews under the influence. There's a hit and run. There's all the accusations about her not actually singing her songs. It's just been a wild, wild ride for Paula. She was caught in a very unflattering outfit on like MTV, and it was a black leotard with a bunch of like broken mirror like glued to it, and it was unflattering. It was like, remember that unflattering outfit that like Gaga wore on, I want to say, one of the MTV awards or something, and everyone was like, oh my god, it looks like she has a penis. It was kind of like that, but instead of being accused of, you know, having a penis, they were like, oh my god, Paula Abdul has put on so much weight, she looks so fat and all this stuff. And while that wasn't really a controversy, she talked about it quite a bit in Hey Paula, and so I definitely do think that that's something that she does not want people to remember about her, and that she would much rather have her be remembered as a you know, America's favorite plane crash survivor and America's little sweetheart, forever America's girl, if you will. So while I was researching this whole entire topic, I kind of came across a – maybe this is a bit of a reach. But she talks about herself being injured a lot. And sometimes they don't – she'll mention something and then she won't mention it in another interview. She will just forget it happens. It's almost like she makes things up to talk about her injuries, such as the broken leg that never happened or the torn knee that I don't believe happened. I don't know. It just seems very, very suspicious that she's always talking about her injuries and her back and all her back surgeries and spinal surgeries and stuff like that. I feel like she does take pleasure out of being sick, and I think personally that she, as she said before, you know, I don't like the attention that it gives me. Like, I didn't want to be seen as a victim. Well, now she talks about her plane crash all the time. And she always talks about how injured she was and how sick she was. So along with a bunch of other things, and her constant mention of, oh, I was so injured. Oh, I was so doing this. Oh, I broke my leg. Oh, I tore my knee. I broke my back. I was paralyzed. She always talks about it. And so this is why I'm going to drop a bomb here, and I'm going to say, I kind of believe that Paula Abdul might have Munchausen. Simply because she talks a lot about her injuries and she wants people to believe that she was paralyzed and that it was, her pain was so debilitating that she had to take 7 years off of work, off of her career, and leave the spotlight, when she never did that. She's wanting people to remember a reality that didn't actually happen. She wants people to believe that she was physically, like, unable to move for 7 years when she was out here doing her, like, workout video. It's crazy. It's sick. She is sick in the head, but I totally believe it, because guess what? Right now, I am actually on WebMD, and I am looking at the symptoms of Munchausen syndrome, and here they are. They are dramatic but inconsistent medical history, and let me tell you, being paralyzed by a plane crash is definitely dramatic, and it's got so many inconsistencies. Along with stuff like drug addiction, which she has said that she was addicted to drugs and quickly retracted that statement in the same week. She also talks about all of these different, you know, car crashes that she was injured in. She talks about a lot of different leg injuries that she said that she sustained during her 1991, 1992 Under My Spell tour, which is a little bit strange. Unclear symptoms that are not controllable and that become more severe or change once treatment has begun. Well, I mean, I know that some people with medication don't work for them and that some medications do, but she did talk about 2003 Dateline. She was saying, oh, you know, like, on my treatment, they actually got worse, and it was like, it was crazy, like nothing worked for me. Predictable relapses following improvement in the condition. I don't really know her well enough to say anything about that. Extensive knowledge of hospitals and or medical terminology, as well as textbook descriptions of illnesses. Now, I remember on Hey Paula, there was an episode where she does talk in depth a bit about it and talks to doctors. But I mean, like, I guess if she, like, if you have conditions, you're going to know some stuff about, you know, like the medical terminology, like how they've been talking to you for the longest time, what your illness entails in you. It's definitely a possibility. Presence of multiple surgical scars. Well, she said that she's had 15 surgeries on her spine. So, I mean, she's probably got a few surgical scars. Appearance of new or additional symptoms following negative test results. Again, I don't really know her well enough to say, yeah, after her negative test, she'll just make something else up. Willingness or eagerness to have medical tests, operations, or other procedures. Well, she's had 15 surgeries on her spine alone. I'm going to say that she was willing and eager to have these done. However, I don't know how severe her pain is. So if to put myself in her shoes, I would definitely think that maybe I would want to get some sort of surgery to sort of help this pain. But, you know, I don't know. I can't say how much pain she was in. History of seeking treatment at numerous hospitals, clinics, and doctor's office, possibly in different cities. Well, she was on tour quite a bit, so I wouldn't put it past her that she would have had to check into separate hospitals or separate treatment centers for stuff like that. Again, unless Paula's medical records leak, I really don't think that I could speak on this. Reluctance by the patient to allow doctors to meet with or talk to family, friends, or prior doctors, and problems with self-identity and self-esteem. And I definitely know that Paula has spoken about how she was battling an eating disorder when she was 17 up until the time of her divorce, and I believe 1993. I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but I forgot to, and I was running low on time. It's almost been an hour and a half that this podcast has been going on for, and I'm probably going to edit some of it out. But she did talk about how she did suffer from bulimia, and she had a very horrible self-image of herself following a lot of different things when she was about 17. She was always picked last for auditions and stuff like that, if you could pick at all, because she was shorter and she was a little bit heavier, she said in a few interviews, and that sort of drove her to these extreme lengths to be accepted by others and maybe even herself. In 1994, she did get professional help, thankfully, and went through a month-long bulimia treatment program. And her 17 – oh, no, it wasn't – oh, God. I'm trying to remember. I think it was at 17. I do remember reading an article about that, but maybe it was 17 and it lasted for another 17 years, which is horrible. She also said that through therapy, she realized that her bulimia was a way of suppressing her feelings and dealing with her negative emotions. Neglected emotions actually did help her recover, and so that's good. She did make a recovery about that. And now I do kind of feel bad with this because I'm not a psychologist. I'm not going to claim to be one, but in high school, I do remember when we were being taught about I want to say that there was like an issues class for teenagers, like don't have unprotected sex, don't do drugs and stuff like that. I want to say that it was in health class. Yeah, that's health. That's literally health class. No, but I do remember that we talked about how oftentimes people with low self-esteem do develop eating disorders, and eating disorders are – low self-esteem can be pretty common in people who do have eating disorders, and so there's that. I definitely think that in the whole Munchausen thing, there are certainly quite a few boxes that have been checked on that. Again, I'm not a psychologist. I'm just throwing stuff out here. I'm just saying this makes sense. I could see this happening. I kind of do see a pattern. I'm not too, you know what? The only sort of experience I have with Munchausen is I watch Sharp Objects. I feel so bad just saying that. Oh, also, I've watched a lot of the Jamila Jamil, conspiracies where she's like very inconsistent, and a lot of the stuff that Paula is doing is Paula was the freaking blueprint for Jamil. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say. That's all I'm gonna say on that. No, but definitely the one thing that I do feel incredibly qualified in saying is that I think that this could be a way for Paula to stay in the spotlight by sort of excusing her absence from not her entire career, but her absence from relevancy for the years in between her album, Spellbound, being dropped, and her return to the spotlight in American Idol. I think that she's like, I'm so sick and tired of being out of the spotlight. I just want to be me. I just want to be me, you know? No, but I really do think that she was definitely enjoying her American Idol fame, which is why in May 2003, which was our Dateline interview and the first sort of mention of this plane crash conspiracy, it was fabricated. I think she said, I want to stay in the spotlight and I'm going to do whatever it takes if I have to lie, cheat, or steal, or even say I was in a plane crash when I wasn't. I think that she said, oh, I was in a plane crash. That's why I've been so gone, but I promise I won't be in another one and I'll stay forever your girl. No, but I do think that that was definitely, she used that to cling to relevancy. She wanted her name in the press. She wanted to be big again. And American Idol was certainly helping with that. But I think that she thought that she could take herself further with these lies. And I mean, no one's really talking about Paula anymore. So I don't think that that's really helped out her career in any way. Maybe it did at the time when everyone was like, oh my God, you guys, Paula said she was in a plane crash in the 90s. Like, oh my God, like, could you believe that? But now I think that people, well, I mean, obviously the most recent news about Paula Abdul has been that she's been lying about being in a plane crash. Like, that was the whole 2019. I was like, oh my God, like, she was in a plane crash, but she wasn't. She literally was not in a plane crash. Yeah. So, personally, what I think that it, I honestly, like, the why factor for this is so, I think that at least three of the four, wait, did I put through four theories? Did I? Hold on. Yeah, I kind of did. I think that it's definitely a mix of the four things. I think that it is a mix of her wanting to stay in the spotlight, her possibly having Munchausen, her excusing her drug addiction to both herself and the media, and to sort of cover for some other controversies by having her being in a plane crash. So that way, when you look up hit and run or crash, you'll find a plane crash instead of her, you know, hitting someone and driving off. I think a plane crash is a lot better for a celebrity to have on their Google search than a hit and run. So she definitely has, I think that she has some motives in all of these categories for this. This has been a crazy conspiracy. This, I don't even think we'll ever get answers until she comes forward and says something about this. Because she hasn't said anything yet, and so for now, I can only speculate, and I think we all can only speculate, because we don't know her, we don't know why she would do this, we don't really... Paula Abdul literally has Munchausen, you guys. Literally, she's out here claiming injuries that haven't really existed. She's out here saying, I was in a plane crash. Who does that? She's out here talking about her surgeries. She talks about her medical history any chance she gets. I pretty much 90% believe that she has Munchausen. I really, really, really want to hear what you guys think too. And at this point of the episode, it's almost an hour and a half long, but it's really, I hope you guys really liked it. I loved making this episode. For me, this has been a roller coaster ride. It's been so crazy, and I'm finally happy that I came to some sort of resolution of why she did this and why she lied about being in a plane crash. I definitely hope that I have made you guys into Paula Abdul plane crash truthers with this podcast, and I hope that you guys will enjoy it, and I hope you guys will, maybe if you've heard about this before, will be more informed on it, and I hope you guys had as much fun being educated about this as I did talking about it. If you want to get in touch with me and talk about this or suggest anything else, I do have two social medias where you can reach out to me and talk to me. The first is my Twitter account. It is specifically made for this account. It is Iconic-kun. Oh my God, I was going to say it, but no. It is, my @ on Twitter is Iconic, C-O-N-S-P-R-C-Y. That is Iconic Conspiracy. I'm going to spell out conspiracy the way it is spelled in the at one more time. If you look up iconic conspiracies in full, you'll probably find my account. But just to be on the safe side, just look up my at. It is iconic, C-O-N-S-P-R-C-Y. And if you want to get in touch with me over on Instagram, you can follow me and I will hopefully follow you back. I sound like such a bitch saying that, but I'll probably follow you back, to be completely honest. My name on Instagram is simply Vanessa Iconic, and I look forward to getting in touch with all of you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Iconic Conspiracies, and I hope you will be back for more. Mwah! Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the gift that was Paula Abdul's fake plane crash and the conspiracy that's come along with it. Best wishes to you all, and I hope to be talking to you and be on your speakers real soon. Bye-bye. Until next time, lots of love and goodbye.